Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Just ask 5-year-old Emma, and she'll tell you that Thursdays are her most favorite days for dinner. And Mondays are awesome because she gets noodles. Fridays, pizza night, of course. But Thursdays you just can't beat. And that's because she never knows what will be served. Sometimes she gets breakfast for dinner. Sometimes she has a picnic on her living room floor. But her most favorite Thursday dinner is when she can eat dessert before she has to eat her dinner. She can't really comprehend how that could actually work, how she can eat dessert and not get in trouble. But she doesn't question it. She just enjoys it. But here in the adult world, we rarely get to eat our dessert before breakfast or before dinner. The end always comes at the end. You first go to school, and then you get your diploma. You first work, and then you get a paycheck. You first travel, and then you reach your destination. The list goes on. The end is always the end. But not in today's passage. Like so many examples that we find in the Bible, God doesn't act in expected ways. He doesn't conform to our way of thinking. And instead, what he does is he turns it all on its head. Every assumption, every expectation, every norm that we try to apply to him. Israel, they believed that God would come as a warrior and that he would rescue them from earthly captivity. But God came as a servant and he rescued them from eternal damnation. The Romans and the Jews, they believed that the crucifixion of Christ was the end of the story. But it wasn't. It was just the beginning. And in our world today, how often do we think the same way? That salvation is earned after a lifetime of obedience to God. That the prize is waiting for us if and when we successfully finish that race. And so in the spirit of today's message, I offer you the dessert before the meal. Your salvation has already been secured. You have already been saved. It's not something that comes at the end of your path. And it doesn't depend on you doing anything to earn it. Now that's the dessert. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, switching metaphors, we can talk about this in the context of a race. God has placed us at the destination. We didn't have to travel that path first. He just set us down, and he set us down across the finish line. We didn't even have to break the ribbon. He did that for us. He ran the race. He traveled to the cross. And he crossed that finish line. And then he placed us in the winner's circle with him. And how did he do that? Well, we have to back up several thousand years to the banks of the Jordan River. And it was there that John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The path prepared. The race about to begin. But it wasn't just any race. It was the race. And it would start in an unexpected way. The baptism of Jesus. And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Now God was speaking about Jesus, but he really wasn't speaking to him as much as he was speaking to us. Jesus knew who he was. He didn't need any validation from God. He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need to see the Holy Spirit descend upon him. He didn't need to hear the words from God, his Father. It was done for our benefit, for those who witnessed the event. See, God's message to us was clear that day. Take note, God has come to earth, and he is about to travel to the cross to win our freedom from sin and from death. He is about to do what we cannot do. And then he will transfer that victory over to us. And what he said and what everyone saw all contributed to God's message to us. The voice, the dove, everything. See, in Christ's baptism, it serves as a source of baptismal power for us. In our baptism, the heavens that were closed are torn open. They're not carefully parted. They're not gently set aside. Scripture's clear. They are torn open. And you've watched small children open Christmas presents, and you can just imagine the vigor and the excitement that goes into ripping that package open to see what's inside. In the same zeal, God tears open the heavens. It's as if he can't wait any longer to send his mercy down to us, to send the Holy Spirit down to us. And the Holy Spirit doesn't descend softly like a dove. He sends it to us like lightning. What happened at the Jordan provides us heaven's view of our own baptism. It's what the angels see. It's what they can hear, what we cannot. You see, when Christ was baptized, the heavens were tore open, the Spirit was sent, and God spoke, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." And in our own baptism, Jesus puts us in his place. And the heavens are torn open, and the Spirit is sent, and God speaks, "You are my beloved child. because of Christ, I am well pleased. You see, we've been given the dessert. We have been set down across that finish line. And we were never asked to run the race. With God's spoken word, He adopts us into His family. But He doesn't leave us in the winner's circle. He sends us out on a journey with faith and assurance that the heavens are open to us, that He is accessible to us, and that the Holy Spirit is alive in us. He sends us out into the world with assurance that we do not travel alone. God leads us. Christ leads us. He protects us. He encourages us. He sustains us. We journey into the world with our own cross, a cross that God Himself fashioned for us. And the journey is difficult. It's painful, and it's impossible to complete on our own. We're challenged about our beliefs of who God is. We're questioned about where He is in a world like ours. But we continue on. We don't back down. We don't back away. We don't look for a smoother path than the one that Christ lays out before us. We don't hide these difficult teachings about Him to others. And we don't ignore His commands when they don't serve us. And we don't love everyone except our enemies. We do what God did for us. We tear open the clouds of heaven in our actions towards other people. We show others that God is dying. Strike that. God has died to reconnect to them. We speak God's words to them. You are my beloved child. Because of Christ, I am well pleased. And like the baptism of Jesus was to us, our daily baptism, our daily response to God, our daily walk on our journey with Christ should be a visual representation of their baptism. It should drive them to the same river where they can experience what we already have. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Please pray with me. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night, and I will go if you lead me, and I will hold your people in my heart. Amen.